Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Phil here from Bud Pod. Just a quick note to say GarageBand fucked up basically and told me I was recording through my microphone when in fact it was recording through its shitty little internal MacBook microphones. So I sound quite roomy in this episode, but only for the half hour. Only for the whole episode. But I just want you to know, it's not a permanent issue. It's just my MacBook fucked up. My GarageBand fucked up. Okay, enjoy. Bye-bye.
It's BudPod 140.
140, what a lovely number.
Really neat.
Really neat, I love that. Beautiful number. 140.
140.
Mum, pour tea. I'm being a rude child, demanding tea from my mother. Mum, pour tea.
Or snapping your mum out of her reverie because it's finally happened. The Queen has come for tea.
Mum, pour tea for her Madge.
Mum, pour tea, quick.
I hope her Madge is all right. Haven't heard from her in a while.
Yes, she's probably as okay as such an incredibly old person can be.
I mean, she's the healthiest a 95-year-old person has ever been in history, surely.
I mean, it's got to be.
Outside of, like, Japan. Then,
I was about to say, every time it's like, the world's oldest person is 112, and it's always like a tiny... It's a Japanese lady, and she looks like a raisin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's the same size as a raisin, and she lives in the middle of nowhere in Japan.
Yeah, and everyone's like, she's 112! Is that incredible? And you look at her, and you just think, is that good?
Yeah.
Is she happy to be...
Is she pleased about this? It's always like the photo of them celebrating their 112th birthday is always like... Like an enormous, like, 50 family members because they have 100 billion grandkids or whatever. And this enormous cake just flaming with candles. And then sat behind it is this kind of little raisin.
But then, you know, it's Japan where sort of honorable suicide is very much part of the culture. So one has to assume that if someone reaches that age, they want to be that old.
That's true.
Unless she's just gone so old she can't even harakiri anymore. She just doesn't have the joint strength. She'd love to, but she just can't pick up the katana.
Maybe, but surely when you're that old, you could commit harakiri just by standing within a meter of an active microwave.
Yeah, honorably falling down the stairs.
Yes, yeah, full regalia.
She's taken an honourable fall. She's had an honourable fall.
Or do you think it may be in Japan, if you reach 112, it means that either you're the most or least honourable person?
Okay, so you're the most honourable person because you've lived that long, but you're the least honourable person because you you have refused to perform harakiri for the longest time.
Yeah, well, like, you're either the most honourable because you haven't had to... You've had no shame for over 100 years. Or you've had loads of shame, but you just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's one or the other, isn't it? And her family just sit around her looking at her, like, wondering, which one is it?
Yeah, because it was too long ago. They don't know. We're talking about someone who, like, when World War II ended, they were still, like... They weren't even a teenager anymore. They were kind of getting on with their life. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, when World War II ended, they already had a driving license. Yeah, they had an internship somewhere.
It's exactly. Just insane. So insane, an insane age to be. But yeah, the kids will have to just be like, well, obviously, I mean, we hope it's honorable, but just anyone who can say otherwise is just long dead, so.
I mean, it reminds me of that fact that we discussed on this podcast before, that Joe Biden didn't take part in the Vietnam War because he was too old.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I forgot that. Jesus.
That's old, man.
That is so... I mean, that is, yeah. If it's like a war where anyone who fought in it is already, you know, a pretty old guy, they all have gray hair and wrinkles and stuff now, and you're just like, no, it's a young man's game. That's fucking old.
Yeah, it's too old. But not as old as any Japanese granny.
No, you can't get older than a Japanese nana.
Japanana.
Than a Japanana.
Japanana. It's Japanana with her powers of age. Can she defeat Mechateen?
Yeah, yes. Mechateen's nemesis.
Mechateen's worst enemy is Japanana. It was this ancient Japanese woman who keeps telling him to stop wanking.
Yeah, she
go
finds
blind, Mechateen's son. Oh, Japanana, leave me alone! Get out of my bedroom, Japanana!
It's an urban. He keeps trying to tell her it's an urban myth, and she'll have none of it.
Because she, of course, grew up in the time of myth.
Yes, yeah, to her that just sounds like someone saying a good thing.
Yeah, it was almost the age of gargoyles. She's so old when she grew up.
When she was a little girl, her grandparents could remember the age of gargoyles.
Gargoyles, as it's called in there. It was just before the Edo period.
Yeah. Yes, every country has its own name for the age of gargoyles, of course. Do you think we're going to be called Elizabethans?
Oh, interesting. No, surely not. It'd be too confusing.
Because it's done now, isn't it? The first one gets that, and then after that, I don't know what you do. You have to just pick something else.
I mean, the most recent age to be defined by its monarch was the Edwardian period, right? After that...
Yeah.
After that, it was mid-century, then Cold War. Then it became wars, basically. From Second World War onward, it was sort of defined by wars. And then there was the millennium, which is just defined by the number. And now I feel like we're into numbers. Is it just numbers?
I suppose the Queen's perfect reign period is from when a boomer was born till now. Because she was only crowned in the 50s, so like...
Wait. So yeah. Did she take after? Right, so she replaced King Edward.
She replaced King George, because it was King Edward then the abdication.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah.
Because her father was George, wasn't it?
I remember, my royal knowledge is so bad. My English history is terrifying. Dire! I mean, ask me anything about the Gargoloisu period in Japan, and I'll tell you. But English history, nothing.
Her predecessor, George VI, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, and we can call that period Georgian because there already was a Georgian period.
Yeah.
And because there's already an Elizabethan period, we can't call this one Elizabethan.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll have to just be like post-war. Or like, yeah, the latter half of the 20th century, something like that.
And also it can't be digital age, because presumably the digital age is going to keep going until the end of the human species.
Yes, that would be a bit like saying the hair age now, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we've got hair now, so let's not...
Although arguably that could be the 80s, the hair age.
The hair age, yeah. A very, like, that's like something, Someone who hates the style of a period would sort of say about almost any 10-year period. Like every age had different hairstyles. We're like, oh, I see we're in the hair age now, are we? It's amazing that one of the things that was controversial about the Beatles was that they just had slightly long hair.
Yeah, and they wore suits. It's like they wanted to make sure parents would be okay with them. They wore suits on stage.
Yeah, and they were just like, well, they're wearing suits, but look at those mop tops! It's very strange to try and imagine... It's almost verging on the whole thing where Victorians would put little like covers on table legs so that you didn't get too horny looking at your own table.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. I mean, that is insane. That is some medieval era bullshit.
How repressed do you have to be to just be looking at table legs?
That's one step like, away from just believing in witchcraft.
Yes. Like, you look at a table leg and you turn into, like, a cartoon wolf with, like, the big eyes, the long eyes. And you go, oh, and you have to hit yourself in the head with a mallet. And
Last night, watching TV on my own, I was turned on by a 3D sex scene, and I was so fucking embarrassed.
No. No, you were. What? Which one?
It was, do you know this series on... it's like a sci-fi short film series on Netflix called Love, Death, and Robots.
Yes.
It's quite good. And there's an episode where this guy like gets marooned on this far-flung station out in space, and he bumps into like a gal he had a fling with a while ago, and they start this sex scene. And at first, I just kind of laughed at myself. It's so silly. And it just reminded me of all those awkward video game sex scenes that I watched playing video games during my teens. And I was like, this is so dumb. But then I started getting like a little bit hard. And I was like, no, Phil, please, come on. No, not at this. Come on. And I got, I would say, I reckon I got 40% of the way, you know.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think I got a 40%... Well, I can't say 40% semi because that's not mathematical. A 40% 40% erection, I reckon. I got.
I need so to hang on. I'm trying to find this now.
It's very embarrassing.
So you essentially you were finally like those pop-up ads you see sometimes where it's just like sexy games.
Yeah, and you think, what fucking loser is going to waste their time on that? It turns out I could, because I'll push it to 50%. I got a semi watching two, like, not even very good computer graphic people bone each other.
I'm really trying to find it, but it's not, you'd think that Twitter would have it, right? But it's not really showing me. What is that? Is that, no, that's not, that can't be it. I'll figure it out. I'll find
if
it.
If I can remember the episode.
There's some YouTube links, a documentary creating the CG sex scene.
Oh, really?
So clearly it was innovative. I want to click it and I want there to be a guy going, according to our estimates, the average viewer will get at least 40% hard with this new flesh jiggle technology.
Well, the jiggle was quite good. The jiggle was quite good. And what I was most impressed, at risk of sounding, a bit profane, Pierre, when female pod buds will obviously be able to attest, When a lady lies on her side, her boobs take on a different shape because of the gravity. They get pulled to the side in a way, and they taper in a way that, and you kind of look at them and you go, that's not the breasts I recognize. You know what I mean? And they'd done this. They had got this exactly right. After, in the post-coital moments when the lady's lying on her side, they do the breast shape change. And I was like, God, that's impressive, actually. Because that's something that can, where these 3D sex scenes often fall down, is that the boobs just look like they're 100% silicon on everyone.
But weightless this one, they, boobs.
They flopped. They did the side flop. They did the correct side flop. And I was like,
really?
Oh, you know, yeah. I was like, fair enough. Actually, Love, Death and Robots. This is kind of spot on.
They would have been like, you're talking to some guy, and you're like, what are you doing? You go, oh, I'm an animator. I'm head of a team. We work on Well, we're mainly tit flop at the moment, but once that sequence is generated, we're going to be moved. We're going to be transferred on to thigh jiggle. That's going to be the next big. It'll take a few months there.
Okay, the episode is called Beyond the Aquila Rift. Aquila, A-Q-U-I-L-A, Rift. Beyond the Aquila Rift. It's a good episode, actually. Okay. It's a really good story. It's a good sci-fi story. But it's the one with the sex scene in it. I'd be interested, Pierre. You don't have to do it now, but I'd be interested if you would watch the sex scene and see how you get on.
Okay, maybe. Maybe I'll watch it with one of those, like, those little triggers that they give people when you're watching debates. How much you're leaning towards either candidate. So I'll have one switch for into it and one switch for deeply unnerved. Do you think when they finally told the 3D animators that they were going to be making a sex scene, that it was like that was when the 3D animators all got to reveal the skills that they've definitely amassed by making their own 3D sex scenes over years?
Yeah, this is it.
It was the animation skills equivalent of when a guy elbows a wooden panel in his house and the whole wall rotates and it's covered in guns and he's like, take your pick.
I mean, some of it did look like a sort of technical demonstration, because there's a bit where she's like pours champagne all over her tits and like he sucks it off. This is in 3D, yeah. This is like a 3D animation. And it's like, was this just a show that you can animate liquid on skin?
Yeah. We're a long way from Toy Story 2.
And I just imagine them animating this frame by frame. It's like, yeah, man. It was a real throwback to all those awkward surprise moments when playing video games in a part of the house that anyone can walk by and just a sex scene starts. And you just go, oh, come on, please, no. I just want to be Solid Snake. I don't need my mom thinking I'm playing some sort of hentai fucking sex game.
I've never played a game with a sex scene or a bit where someone gets their knockers out where it's been welcome.
Oh, never. Never. It's never good. It's never for you. You never enjoy it.
Yeah. You always end up just thinking like, well, I mean, like most cutscenes are not good. Most cutscenes are just two characters kind of... Is it just me or like 90% of cutscenes between two characters, just one or both of them being skeptical at each other?
What do you mean?
It's always just like, you think you're going to take the Goblet of Morgoth that easily? Well... Here's a few things you need to know about that. Or it's always like a kind of sassy, skeptical.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Even in like The Witcher, where you're the skeptical one. Really? You thought a vampire could be defeated with a...
that's always awkward, because it's like, I personally, as Phil, I don't know that a vampire could be defeated by... And so you tell me, Witcher.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel like you're being this guy's being rude on your behalf, and you're like, no, that's fair enough, it's fair, it's fine.
It's a fair question to ask. I was wondering that myself, actually.
Yeah, that would be you could get a special game achievement for playing The Witcher through as the most boring, nice guy, just, well, that's a fair point, and here's how.
I have to say, turned on by the cheat in The Sims that let you... You got rid of the blur when your Sims are having sex.
Oh, yes.
And you could. And there's another separate cheat that allowed you to take the bed and pull it away, thus revealing your Sims having sex sort of suspended in midair.
And, yeah, just that, sort that, of smushing polygons.
Yeah, and I think that did turn me on, actually.
Yeah, but how old were you?
20, 21. I think it must have been like 10. You know when you're just desperate for anything.
I was gonna say that's why I asked, because that's no achievement, is it? That's like you know, starting a fire with only a flamethrower. It's like, yeah, it's gonna happen. There'll be a fire. It's a hair trigger.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when people Lara Croft Tomb Raider started off as a sex symbol, and you look back on that and you go, huh?
Yeah.
I was essentially turned on by a piece of like modern sculpture.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
because it's kind of sculpture.
It could kind of move. Maybe the table leg thing makes more sense than we think. Then maybe we're the idiots.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were jacking over pointy boobs.
Got to put a doily on Lara Croft. Put a doily on those points, madam.
Hmm.
But so, Phil, you're saying in this robot sex scene,
yeah,
or 3D,
not robot, it's 3D,
not robot. She dipped her tits in a sluice. She did the.
Oh yeah, she did a tit sluice with champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. Maybe that's why I was turned on.
Yes, maybe they'll sell it as an NFT, 3D tits champagne NFT. I really wish that was something that is not going to happen, but it 100% is.
It's not even that insane an idea at this point, Pierre.
No.
It's not even a bad idea, that.
Yeah, I mean, they could fund the next series with it.
For sure. For sure.
Gosh.
What was I going to say?
Well,
3D...
Yes?
Yeah. In conclusion, I was turned on by a 3D sex scene more than I thought I would be, and more than I am proud to confess to.
That's really funny, man. That should be something.
Truly,
I think that should be a bit.
It's rare that you're just embarrassed on your own, alone at home, but I was embarrassed on my own.
It's funny to be embarrassed by your own body as well.
And I was even like trying to pretend I wasn't. I was like giving myself fake laughs, like going. Like that, to try and convince myself I wasn't getting turned on.
That's deep denial. That's amazing.
I just sat there going, God, that's so dumb. Just so confused and humiliated.
So you were just a guy sat there on your own going like, oh, this is so stupid. I'm going to watch it again to see how stupid it was. To remind me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Bud Pod NFT Christmas sale is now on. Do you love Bud Pod but find yourself frustrated with how little of it you can own? It's kind of in a digital way. Well, Bud Pod NFTs are for you. For example, you can own an image of a Pierre holding a poop. You own it, it's digital. And anyone can screen grab it and keep it, and it would be indistinguishable from your NFT, but you can say you own it. A picture of Pierre holding a poop, NFT, now going for only £599.10. Want a sound file of Phil going like this? Well, it's yours as an NFT for only 6 million bit pounds. Do you want a full episode of Bud Pod downloaded to your phone? Well, you can just subscribe to BudPod at any podcast outlet or platform, or you can pay $6 trillion in gold ingots and buy an NFT of episode number 123. It'll be exactly the same as listening to it normally, but you can tell people you own it. The future is NFT. The future is BudPod. Own a part of the future. Own a part of the BudPod. Now only £10 billion for just even the smallest thing. Completely ridiculous. This truly is the end of civilization as we know it. BudPod NFTs, available now, wherever you get your scams.
Well, Phil, digital tit champagne aside, and I never thought I'd say that.
No.
But digital tit champagne aside, this is a very important episode because we are officially launching our Patreon.
Yes! BudPod at last has a Patreon, perhaps where we will eventually sell our own tit champagne.
That's right. That's right, exactly. Tit-dip champagne courtesy of P&P.
But essentially, we've heard your demands, PodBuds. We've been listening, and what we've been hearing is, Phil and Pierre, we want to give you money more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
And we have listened here at BudPod HQ.
Yes. Yes. We're going to stop turning down those envelopes rammed with cash that you keep trying to post to us. No longer will they go into the furnace, but they will be diverted to the Patreon. Yeah. Yes, we're going to do a Patreon. There should be a link in every single episode of BudPod's description now. So just check the description on your listening device, your phone, whatever it is, whatever app you use, and give it a click, and you will see the three tiers available, and what you can get. And the good news is that even the lowest tier will get the thing that I think has been the most requested from some of you for the Patreon, an extra 30 minutes of content per week, per episode.
You've spoken and we've listened, PodBuds, so open up your Zooms and click on that link.
That's right. That's right.
We have three tiers. I'm very proud of our tier names. It just feels so good to be part of the Patreon age, Pierre. The lowest tier, you can be a pod bud. You can solidify your position as a pod bud.
You're a pod bud, and you get an extra 30-minute little chunk. Your correspondence gets priority, so it goes to the top of the insane list of correspondence, and will be in the extra episode as a result. You get some early access to Bud Pod news, gigs, and updates, stuff like that, and if you stick around, PodBuds, you'll get a sticker, a special BudPod sticker.
A sticker, which you can stick anywhere.
You can stick on your laptop, and it will be easier to identify you as a PodBud than if you went around shouting things about bin bags and upset people.
That's right. That's right. Or just tag it to a random enemy on the street, and they will be bothered with questions about poo and bullets.
Exactly. If you do tier 2, which is a founding farter, you get everything from tier 1 plus access to a bonus once a month correspondent special and a poster, mug, and sticker as well. You still get the sticker, but you get a poster and a mug as well if you stick around. And there will be a store discount. We're looking into getting some proper merch set up, sort of hoodies and things like that. So that's something that we're working on. But you'll still get the t-shirt. You'll get a t-shirt in the third tier, which is a Tat Whisperer. So Tat Whisperers in the third tier get everything from the previous two tiers, plus a t-shirt eventually, and the ability to suggest discussion topics for the extra 30 minutes.
Yes. You say it, and we'll say it to each other.
Yes.
And you'll have your own BudPod tat. BudPod's finally getting into the tat game at long last.
We're getting into the tat game. It's, you know what? We've been on the sidelines analyzing tat for too long. Tat has thrown down the gauntlet, a gauntlet embroidered with the word Prosecco.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to pick it up, laugh at it, make a didgeridoo noise, and join in.
We started off as commentators, and now we have become players ourselves. Or we've done the reverse Lineker.
We've done a reverse Lineker. We're Benjamin Buttons of Tat. we're going to dive headlong.
So please, if you want to support BudPod.
That's a nice gesture, and it obviously, you know, it just helps us spend more time on it and justify the time we spend on it. And you could even just do it as an appreciation for the 140 hours, roughly, of pooping and fun thus far.
Yeah, why not? What would you call that? Retrospective Patreon. I mean, it's the Pistorian equivalent of Patreon.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's right. Just a time-traveling Patreon member of some sort. we're going to see how it goes and look into expanding it and getting the merch and so on. But
yeah, it'll be an ongoing, evolving thing.
Yes, yes, and we'll take suggestions. Sure, sure, we will.
Sure,
especially from patrons.
Of course.
Of course.
Whose words are worth their weight in gold?
Worth their weight in digital gold spilling down a robot's tits. I still got it in my head that they're robots. I'm not sure why.
They're not robots. They're just 3D animated humanoids.
But yes, exciting stuff, Podbuds. But as always, they will your father and I will never not give you a podcast once a week. That's not what this is about.
That's not what this is about, and it isn't your fault.
It's it's not your fault. It's not your fault. We're like Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
It's not your fault we're doing a Patreon. It's just something that your father and I have decided to do for us.
We're keeping up with the Joneses, you know. We're joining this new exciting digital age. We're hitchhiking down the information superhighway. We've bought our first boogie board to surf the web.
It's interesting, isn't it, that you always surfed the web and we never employed the sort of verbs you'd associate with giant, horrible spiders.
Yeah, really mixed our metaphors there in the early days of the internet.
Yeah, and giant, horrible spiders is a much better description of the kind of people that you're probably going to encounter online.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Web is a better analogy than surf, but it never took off, I guess, surfing the web.
I guess you can get a web crawler. That's a thing. But that's quite a techie term. A little crawling web boy. Web lord.
Web boy. Come here, web boy.
You there, web boy. Spin me a web.
But I can't wait. I can't wait for real life physical bud pod tat to be out there.
Oh, man.
In people's homes.
Imagine seeing it in the wild.
Yeah.
Seeing it in the wild. God, that would be cool. And we'll update the tat as, you know, time goes by. You know, it takes a couple of months or so to earn some of the tat. And then once you've earned it, we're going to create new tat so that you're not left behind. And that means that if you miss the first round of tat, it might be gone forever. We might transfer it to a store. We'll see. But It's going to be great, and God knows the show has enough references. And also, we will be bringing back the silly sketches and intermittent songs to both the main podcast and the bonus one.
Truly, this is the golden age of BudPod.
It's a BudPod industrial revolution.
We've really created a podcast loom. Yes, a loom of poo and bums.
Which that's I think the final.
That's one of George R. Martin's. Yes. Novels, I think.
I was about to say, that's the last one. he wrote as he was really losing it, actually. A loom of poo and bum.
And they were like, are you sure you want... And he was like, yes, I like upsetting my readers. This is what I want.
Well, as per our new format, we should do some correspondence.
Yes, let's do it.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
We have a message from Phoebe.
Phoebe! Not at all creepy to hear from Phoebe.
Nice. Dear Pops.
Pops, is good. Yeah.
Every time I go to the toilet to do my poos and wees, my dog runs in like she's been called to do something very important and serious. She stays there, looking at me with love, until I reach for the toilet roll, at which point she considers herself dismissed and runs back to whatever it was she was doing before she heard my bum-bum touch the seat.
Wow, how interesting. What does she think her job is?
To guard the human?
But only... Right. But the human, if anything, a human needs the most guarding whilst they're wiping, because their hands are occupied.
That's true. If someone burst in to try and karate chop you, you'd only have one hand to block it with.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
However, in your other hand, Phil, would be a potent psychological weapon.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Not just psychological, scatological.
That's right. That's right. You could Spider-Man the tissue roll right at the person.
The current battlefield is one on the scatological battlefield. Scatological warfare, ladies and gentlemen. That's the future.
Like at the start of Iron Man. They say the ultimate weapon of war is one you only have to fire, one you never have to fire. Well, I prefer the one you only have to wipe once. And he just absolutely fills his pants in front of the Taliban.
That was a good movie. Ooh, and they kick him out. Iron Man was good.
It was good.
It was really good.
It was good.
It was great.
Phoebe has another story. It was probably the best. She says, trigger warning, this one is emotional.
Is this Phoebe still?
Yeah, still Phoebes.
Okay.
Still Phoebe Phoebes.
Yep.
Trigger warning, this one is emotional. When I was little, I used to say poos and wheeze in a special fast, wispy accent.
Poos and wheeze in a special fast, wispy accent. Okay. Wispy. Like,
I think. Poos and wheeze.
Right, yep.
Poos and wheeze. That seems like a special fast wispy accent, right?
Yeah.
Poos and wheeze. And I still continue to do it whenever I want to make my mum or my sister smile. When I was at uni, I told my best friend about this, and he also found it very funny and started saying it occasionally to feel good. So you just to yourself, poos and wheeze.
Yeah, it does feel
so
nice.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Very
ASMR-y.
Sadly. Huh?
It's quite ASMR.
Poos and wheeze. It would be the funniest thing for like the ghost of a little girl to say in a haunted house. Poos and wheeze. Because you'd have to tell, they'd be like, not only did I see a ghost, it whispered it to me and I screamed. And they go, what did it say? And you'd have to be like, it said poos and wheeze.
And you were scared by that?
And it's like, no, it's about the way, it was the delivery. It was go sleep there if you don't believe me. So, Phoebe says, very sadly, this uni friend, he had a bad bicycle accident with a serious head injury. And was in a coma and recovery for well over a year.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. When I went to visit him, I would say, poos and wheeze, in my special way. And when he was conscious, I said it again, and he laughed and repeated it back in the special accent. And it was emotional and beautiful and funny, because I knew then that my old friend was still here.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Amazing.
That's magic.
Amazing something. Poos and wheeze, the power. Poos and wheeze forever, Phoebe. P.S. I love you, Phil. And Pierre, in brackets, she's put.
Oh, that's nice. Love you too. Be glad your friend is better and well. And, of course, that Poos and Wheeze played such a vital role in his recovery.
Yes. And I wonder if he heard it when he was sort of in there.
You must... Yeah. Yeah. They say that people do.
They do say that hearing is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's like a dream. I wonder what it's like to experience it.
Yeah. Maybe we're in one right now, Phil.
Maybe. Maybe we'll start hearing poos and wheeze whispered by a sort of godlike entity from the sky. And wonder, wait, is this the dream? Is this all?
If God appeared. If God appeared in the sky to all of humanity and just said, poos and wheeze, and then left again. The absolute chaos that would unleash.
Oh, man.
Joe gets in touch.
Joe, let's go. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 Joe. Yeah. Joe.
Dear Bud Poodles, Joe says, I was just listening to your funny and painful discussion about the heights various people have fallen from. I think we talked with Stu about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stu's dad fell from a surprisingly great height, wasn't that right?
And like through a greenhouse or something.
Yeah, through conservatory. Glass. And he was okay? Oof.
Yes.
Yeah, that's mad.
And it reminded me of this story of an American skydiver whose parachute failed to open. And they hit the ground. Joe says they hit the ground at bone-crushing speed. And it's like yes.
Yeah.
I'd have thought so. Apparently, the only thing that saved her life was the fact that she landed on a colony of fire ants. Who immediately stung the shit out of her. This caused a surge of adrenaline that kept her heart beating long enough for the emergency services to get to her.
No way!
Apparently.
You know what? I would have thought the adrenaline would have kicked in before then, I have to say. I don't feel like she was, like, coming down. I don't think she was bored right until the ants started biting her.
Do you think she was falling and just going, ugh, and then the second she saw that there was a fire ant hill, like, wait, is that like squinting because it's still like a mile away? Is that a fire ant hill? No, no! And then it was, I don't want to hit that.
But would it have been softer as well? I suppose the fire ant hill would have been a bit softer too, right? It would have.
No. Especially in South Africa, ant hills in the bush are like concrete because they chew the dirt and they bind it with spit and stuff.
Jesus.
A termite mound, like you can crash a car into a termite mound. It's just like concrete, yeah.
But there does seem to be a lot of luck involved with whether or not you survive a very high fall.
Yeah.
Because, and I guess with skydiving, like beyond a point, it doesn't really matter what height you fall from because your terminal velocity is your terminal velocity and that's what you're going to hit the ground at.
Yes. Yes.
Like, there's a theory that cats could survive any fall because I think they can survive, or at least some cats can survive their terminal velocity.
Yeah, because it just has to have a limit, doesn't it? Joe says, it should be said that Wikipedia repeatedly stresses that while it is true she fell from the plane and survived, the only reference to the ant sting saving her life is from her original interview in People magazine and may have no medical backing whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I think my point stands in that I feel like there already would have been some adrenaline going through her bloodstream.
Yes. And it's well known that People magazine is in the pocket of Big Ant.
Yeah.
Joe says, but it's such a cool fact, I think we can all ignore the dubious nature of the claim and agree that it's absolutely true.
Well, it actually reminds me of something that was in a Dan Brown book. It's in Angels and Demons. And it's when, it might even be Robert Langdon, the main protagonist, has to fall out of a plane. And he remembers from early on in the book, a scientist saying, that even the smallest increase in surface area can have a great effect on lowering your terminal velocity as you fall. And so he opens up his shirt or whatever and survives his fall. And I've always thought about that since then, you know, because Dan Brown writes important literature.
I mean, fucking hell. I've read that book and I don't remember a bit where he tries to billow himself to safety like a toddler, but...
Oh, wow. It's in there. Out of a helicopter.
Wow.
Over the Vatican. How can you forget scenes God. Like that?
How could you ever forget a scene like that? Joe says, adds, while I'm here, I should add the highest I've ever fallen is 20 feet down a cliff in a rock climbing accident.
Ooh.
Resulting in so many pins in my right foot that it looks like the surgeon dropped their keys during the operation. Ugh.
Yikes.
Ugh.
It seems so much more about how you fall than how high you fall. Because like you can like roll your ankle and do more damage than falling off, you know, 10 feet straight onto your back, I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, you hit some kind of soft part of you that has a bit of movement to it. I don't know. God. Oh, Pinfoot Joe.
Pinfoot Joe.
God damn.
Old Joe Metaltoe. That's what they call it.
Old Joe Robotoes.
Is it a Lady Joe or a fellow Joe?
It appears to be spelled with an E, so I'm going to guess Manjo.
Oh, Manjo. Manjo.
Manjo.
I play the Manjo.
Roboto Manjo.
Would love to see that Roboto in a sex scene.
Oh, God, Joe pouring champagne all over his shattered foot. In 3D.
And that's there's that. Have you seen that rock climbing movie, Free Solo? I think we've discussed
that.
Oh
yes.
Maybe. But
ugh.
So he had a bad fall, when his girlfriend like let slip on the support rope, and he fell basically like straight onto his legs, like as if he was standing, and like shattered his shin and like fucked his back, and I was like, fuck hell. Imagine staying together after that. Imagine, like, oof.
imagine the passive-aggressive comments you'd be able to make.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you didn't put the rubbish out last night? And you can just go, well, I didn't break your legs and back, did I?
And if she ever says, like, God, you're really not going to let this go? And it's like, well, I don't let things go. I'm not some people.
That's a more of a you thing.
I bet you would let it go really easily. I bet you would let it go instantly, wouldn't you? And just continue in that vein. And Joe says, but seeing as I didn't land on a colony of fire ants, it hardly seems worth mentioning. Lots of jacking it love, Joe.
Well, jacking it love to you too, Joe. Hope that metal toe is better.
Yes. Yes,
hope so,
Joe.
I'm alone tonight, that metal toe.
Mm. Oh, boy, oh boy.
Absolutely.
Well, Phil, let's continue our discussion of Robotoes and many other things in the bonus recording. But for the rest of you guys, we're going to go to the VIP area now. You guys enjoy the party, but it's Podbuds only after this velvet.
Oh, wow. We're essentially a stripper, and we've taken the hand of the patrons. And we're leading them through the dark strip club into a private room.
Into a private big toilet.
we whispered into the patrons' ears, want a private poop chat?
Sorry, honey, I only discuss farting one-on-one.
No kissing. So patrons come with us. Feels weird.
We'll see all of you guys next week.
Yeah, bye-bye, enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.